Hello, everyone. Welcome to the reading of the Ford Dodge Messenger for Wednesday, July 28th. I'm Kevin Rogers at the microphone. Thanks so much for joining me today. We're in the middle of a heat advisory in Fort Dodge, and not only Fort Dodge, but basically the entire state of Iowa. And not only the entire state of Iowa, but a good chunk of the Midwest is experiencing unseasonably warm temperatures. Hopefully we have some relief in sight. I think Wednesday was supposed to be the hottest day of the week, and then things are going to cool down into a more normal temperature by the weekend, that meaning the mid-80s. In the meantime, in Fort Dodge, we have heat indexes of around 105 degrees. But hopefully, as I said, things will calm down. There's even a chance of rain in the forecast. And we'll take a more detailed look at the forecast as we conclude our time together. Looking at the Ford Dodge Messenger, the first article is entitled 5G Data and Privacy, the Iowa Technology Roadshow Visits Fort Dodge. James Rose, Senior Manager of Wireless Solution Architects for U.S. Cellular, believes that before he retires, astronauts on the moon will be able to FaceTime with someone on Earth. Just before the pandemic hit, NASA made an announcement that they awarded Nokia with a contract with a 4G network and an award to SpaceX to put a full space station on the moon, Rose said Tuesday during an Iowa Technology Roadshow event at Willow Ridge Golf Course and Restaurant on Madison Avenue. What's really cool is it's conceivable that before I retire, an astronaut can FaceTime from the moon. Nokia was selected by NASA in October 2019 to build the first ever cellular network on the moon. Rose was among a group of panelists who presented information about technology, cybersecurity, data, and software development during the 90-minute session presented by U.S. Cellular. Rose said the capabilities of phones, even within the last 10 years, has changed dramatically. In terms of cellular equipment, 10 years ago, a phone meant getting a hold of somebody, he said. ESPN had just come out with an app that showed short clips. Since that time, apps like Facebook, YouTube, Snapchat, Instagram, Spotify, and a host of others have changed the way people communicate and share information. 10 years ago, I never thought that through a few clicks on my phone, a stranger would come pick me up in a car and take me where I needed to go, Rose said. Snapchat, for example, is a company that doesn't exist without 4G, known as fourth generation of broadband cellular network technology. Another development Rose highlighted is autonomous vehicles. You will start to see commercial fleets more widely adopted to autonomous fleets, Rose said. Rose said autonomous vehicles will increase production. My job as a business professional, I travel quite a bit, he said. If I'm driving for 10 hours and I have the ability to work on my laptop, that's going to give me 10 hours of productivity. I have a chance to be more productive if I'm sitting in an autonomous vehicle. For example, John Deere has set up a private 5G network in multiple Iowa counties to support its autonomy efforts. John Deere set up a private network in 4 Iowa counties so they can support fully autonomous farm equipment, Rose said. In terms of 5G, Rose said, the bandwidth is so much larger and can handle more users. What was important for us, especially in Iowa, was let's get our 5G upgrades out there. Today, U.S. Cellular has 5G blanketing almost the entire state. Rose said there are multiple conspiracies when it comes to 5G and how it functions. What does 5G mean, he said. The truth is, it was a really big software upgrade and minimal tweaks to the hardware. Rose said the difference of latency between 4G and 5G is substantial. Latency is the delay before a transfer of data begins following an instruction for its transfer. The benefits of 5G, other than faster speeds, yes, you can download shows faster, but with latency, if I were to have my smartphone to send a text message and the tower responding to the phone and sending it, 4G is about 14 milliseconds latency. 5G is 1 millisecond. That means you have exponentially faster technology. Meanwhile, Dave Nelson, CEO of Pratum, an engineering security firm based in Ankeny, said data is what makes businesses run. It doesn't matter if it's a bar, you want to know what your average check is, how many people are coming in, etc. It doesn't matter how non-technical your business is, it is a technical company. Nelson said Pratum manages risks for other companies. Look at the overall life cycle of the business and the life cycle of the data, Nelson said. You can try and protect against everything and it's not going to work. You're not going to be able to solve every cybersecurity challenge you have and still be in business. Managing risk is what we do. You can spend too much on security. It happens quite frequently. When you look at cybersecurity, it's just one more piece of risk I'm managing as an owner. Multi-factor authentication is a major protection against cyber threats, Nelson said. MFA is an electronic authentication method in which a user is granted access to a website or application only after successfully presenting two or more pieces of evidence to an authentication mechanism. If you aren't doing it, you need to, Nelson said. 80% of your current threats is multi-factor authentication. Nelson said privacy is something that needs to be more carefully considered in the United States. In the United States, we don't take privacy nearly as seriously as a very large portion of the rest of the world, he said. The Russians are ahead of us as far as personal privacy and data privacy. The problem is we as a society really don't value our own privacy. You're willing to give me almost all your data for almost nothing. We don't do a great job of reading through terms and use conditions. Nelson used a flashlight app as an example. The flashlight app, if you read through the terms, it gave the company the permission to turn on your camera, video, whatever that was, turn on the microphone and record. They took ownership of that data and can use it for whatever they choose. We have to do something different in this country. We have to start taking privacy more seriously. As parents, we need to start protecting our children from having online identities and personas and give them the choice whether they want to create their virtual identity. Heading back to the main page of the Messenger, we'll grab our next article. It's entitled After Ragbri. And there's some pictures of some children from First Presbyterian Church daycare standing in the street encouraging Ragbri riders as they left Tuesday morning. The thousands of Ragbri riders that rolled into Fort Dodge on Monday departed almost just as quickly on Tuesday, but their impact on Fort Dodge stayed behind. Local Ragbri committee members and volunteers worked hard to put on a successful event. As normal, we had some day of hiccups, but those got fixed relatively quickly and things seemed to go off without a hitch otherwise, said Nevin Conrad, Executive Committee Chair. Nikki Conrad, also an Executive Committee Chair, said Fort Dodge once again gratefully had the opportunity to showcase what we all love about our community. As an overnight host town for Ragbri, we welcome new faces into our hometown, fed them, gave them shelter, and showed them a good time. Nikki said the committee had been working on this event since early 2020. To see it come to fruition was so rewarding, she said. Nikki also said she was impressed by the teamwork she witnessed in putting together the event. Folks from all different walks of life came together to volunteer their time and energy as much as they could. Nevin Conrad said that success of the event is thanks to the many volunteers and committee members. I cannot thank everyone involved enough, and because of that tremendous volunteer response, there are simply too many to name even if I tried, he said. Central Avenue hosted the main events and vendors, drawing thousands of riders and locals alike. Nevin said community impact was great. Most every rider I spoke to was very complimentary. Nikki also heard many praises of the Fort Dodge community. over and over yesterday as we walked Central Avenue. We heard all the ways Fort Dodge had impressed our guests, many of them indicating that they'd love to come back, she said. Ray Bray also leaves behind a donation to local charities. Let's not forget to thank Reg Bray for their efforts and the $15,000 contribution that went towards five very deserving local nonprofits, said Nevin. Nikki expressed that Reg Bray's visit was much more than just riders stopping for the night. In one day, we not only reached out to thousands of new friends, she said, but we also reached inside of ourselves to show the true meaning of community. The Dragon Boat Bash is coming to town and volunteers are needed. The Dragon Boat Bash is returning to Badger Lake at John F. Kennedy Memorial Park. Volunteers are needed to help with several areas, including setup, entrance gates, concessions, merchandise, boat loading, timing, and cleanup. Volunteers are both needed Friday evening, August 13th, and all day Saturday, August 14th. If you're willing to give a few hours, please contact Linda Donner at 571-9642 or Barb Michaels at 571-0174. You can also visit the website at bldba.com. That's bldba.com and click on the volunteer form. We'll take a look next at an article. Fort Dodge PD has added two new officers. Two new Fort Dodge police officers were hired Monday evening. The City Council hired Matthew English and Timothy Hopwood to fill two vacancies on the force. English has an associate's degree in criminal justice from Iowa Central Community College. He is a graduate of Dowling Catholic High School in West Des Moines and will start the job on Monday. Hopwood has been an employee of the Fort Dodge Correctional Facility since 2014. There, he serves on the Corrections Emergency Response Team and is a gang intelligence officer. He will begin his Fort Dodge police career on August 5th. We'll take a look at from our files, going back 15 years to July 2006. There's a picture of Messenger Editor Emeritus Walt Stevens as he signs a copy of 150 Years of the Messenger, co-written with his son Paul, for Kirk Van Gundy. The signing took place during the Fort Dodge Area Chamber of Commerce After Hours event held at the Messenger's offices. The book coincided with the Messenger's 150th anniversary. And it's sure nice to see a picture of Walt again. He was a great guy. News of record is next. Magistrate Court for Webster County on Friday. Violation of probation, David Edward Bolin, 34, Fort Dodge, hearing set for August 23rd. Driving under suspension, driving while suspended, failure to use safety belts, no insurance. Landon Darrell Gast, 19, of Hubbard. No insurance, fine $428.75. Safety belt violation, $135.50. Driving while suspended, $347.50. And driving under suspension, $347.50. Kaylee Eileen Mary DeVries, 15, of Hardy. Driving while suspended, hearing set for August 20th. Domestic abuse, assault causing injury, first offense, Andre Isaiah Walker, 35, Fort Dodge. Preliminary hearing set for August 3rd. Careless driving, Nicholas Franklin Passio, 28, of Fort Dodge. Hearing set for August 27th. On Monday, assault with intent to inflict serious injury, Trey Kendall Taylor, 18, of Harcourt. Did not appear, warrant issued. No insurance, Rayshawn Lamar Rush, 21, of Fort Dodge, continued 180 days. Ramey Loretta Matter, 50, of Fort Dodge, fined $615.63. Donna Marie Smith, 41, of Fort Dodge, fined $428.75. Deveris Jamel Shivers, 17, of Fort Dodge, continued 180 days. Third-degree burglary, Rayshawn Lamar Rush, preliminary hearing waived. Driving while suspended, Ramey, Loretta Matter, 50, Fort Dodge, fined $491.25. Leo Jean Aldana, 26, of Marshalltown, $491.25. Bradley Allen Verdesca, 17, rather, of Fort Dodge, hearing set for August 18th. Libby Reyes Coronia, 44, Fort Dodge, fined $347.50. Donna Marie Smith, 41, of Fort Dodge, one count dismissed, one count $347.50. Fraudulent use of registration, Ramey Loretta Matter, fined $503.50. Deveris Jamel Shivers, 17, continued 180 days. Reckless driving, Autumn Rain Sperling, 17, Webster City. And Rosalie Lynn Coppinger, 18, of Fort Dodge, each fined $180.75. Failure to display registration plate, Donna Marie Smith, fined $89.50. Operating a non-registered vehicle, Donna Marie Smith, fined $135.50. Speeding, Leo Jean Aldana, 26, Marshalltown, fined $322.38. Disorderly conduct, Quinoa Ajale Lawrence, 22, of Fort Dodge, hearing set for August 18th. Operating without interlock, Chad Allen Spencer, 35, of Rolfe, continued 180 days, driving while license revoked. Chad Allen Spencer, 35, preliminary hearing waived. No valid driver's license, Chad Allen Spencer, continue 180 days. Victor Mendez Vasquez, 31, Fort Dodge, case dismissed. Davaris Jamel Shivers, 17, Fort Dodge, continued 180 days. Interference with official acts, Brandon Robert Mothershed, 20, of Fort Dodge, continued 180 days. Rebecca Klassen Wiebe, 27, of Albert City, fined $347.50. Davaris Jamel Shivers, continued 180 days. Harassment of public official or employee, Brandon Robert Mothershed, continued 180 days. Assault on persons in certain occupations, Brandon Robert Mothershed, two counts, preliminary hearing set for August 4th. Careless driving, Davaris Shivers, 17, continued 180 days. Police logs from Thursday, one domestic call, a burglary, 400 block Loomis Avenue. Harassment, 3100 block North 15th Street, unsupervised child, 300 block Avenue G. Car accident, 2900 block 5th Avenue South. Noise disturbance, 1000 block 4th Avenue South. Suspicious person, 600 block 2nd Avenue South. Shots fired near 4th Avenue South and South 14th Street. Harassment reported 100 block North 10th Street. Suspicious vehicle, 3300 block of 5th Avenue South. Car accident, 1700 block 5th Avenue South. Suspicious vehicle, Laneson Avenue and Avenue G. Sex abuse was reported. Hit and run, 3000 block 1st Avenue South. Drug violation, 300 block South 8th Street. Person with a gun, 1500 block 4th Avenue South. Suspicious person near 22nd Avenue North and North 25th Street. Unknown problem, 1400 block 4th Avenue North. An assault, 700 block North 3rd Street. Prowler, 900 block 3rd Avenue North. Unknown problem, 1400 block 10th Avenue Southwest. Intoxicated pedestrian, 9th Avenue South and South 32nd Street. And an unknown problem, 200 block Avenue M West. On Friday, three domestic calls, a suspicious vehicle, 800 block Loomis Park Drive, theft, 500 block Central Avenue, car accident, 100 block South 29th Street, car accident, North 7th Street and Miller Drive, suspicious vehicle, 300 block South 25th Street, nuisance, 3000 block 1st Avenue South, harassment, 2100 block 5th Avenue South, suspicious person, 200 block 8th Avenue South, drug violation, 1600 block 12th Avenue Southwest, pursuit in the 1500 block of Central Avenue, burglary, 1700 block of 2nd Avenue North, intoxicated pedestrian, 1000 block 1st Avenue North, burglary, 100 block North 18th Street, suspicious person, 3rd Avenue South, South 15th Street, intoxicated pedestrian near 22nd Street and 2nd Avenue North, a fight in the 10 block of North 7th Street. Fireworks, 1400 block of 3rd Avenue South. On Saturday, juvenile problems reported near Avenue D and B Street, unknown problems South 17th Street, 12th Avenue South, an assault 400 block South 14th Street, civil problem 3000 block 1st Avenue South, a hit and run 300 block Avenue G, trespassing 10 block North 15th Street, theft 3000 block 5th Avenue South, a fight near 1st Avenue South and South 12th Street, juvenile problems in the 2000 block of 220th Street. An unknown problem was reported in the 2700 block of 10th Avenue North. Theft, 1800 block of 9th Avenue North. A fight, 200 block of Avenue M West. Criminal mischief, 300 block of K Street. Suspicious vehicle, 2900 block 1st Avenue South. Juvenile problems, 900 block South 18th Street. And also near 13th Avenue South and South 23rd Street. On Sunday, more juvenile problems, 13th Avenue South and South 23rd Street, an unknown problem, 2800 block of 16th Avenue North. Criminal mischief, 1100 block Avenue B, person with a gun, 2200 block 4th Avenue North. Suspicious vehicle, 2900 block 1st Avenue South. Structure fire, 2700 block of 8th Avenue South. Down power lines near 12th Avenue North and Raymond Drive. Suspicious person, 10 block North 27th Street. Intoxicated pedestrian, 1300 block Central Avenue. A fight near Crestview Drive and Kenyon Road. Trespassing near Forest Avenue and 7th Avenue North. Suspicious vehicle, 500 block 1st Avenue North. Suspicious person, 2400 block 6th Avenue North. A suspicious person in the 1200 block of North 12th Street. A suspicious vehicle near 1st Avenue North and North 3rd Street. And an unknown problem in the 100 block of North 10th Street. That is the Magistrate Court report for Webster County and the Fort Dodge police logs for about the past 5 days or so. We will look next at today's Messenger editorial page. A fitting tribute to a leader we lost is the title of the editorial in today's Messenger. A new scholarship will honor Cindy Littweiler. Cindy Littweiler was a person who helped make worthwhile things happen. Sometimes she was at the helm of important undertakings. On numerous occasions, she also was a dedicated collaborator who could work easily with others to accomplish important objectives as a team member. No matter what her specific role, she brought immense vitality and hard work to her endeavors. Littweiler was a longtime resident of Fort Dodge who is dedicated to making this an ever more thriving community. Much of her career revolved around economic development endeavors, both locally and elsewhere in Iowa. At the time of her untimely death in March of this year, Littweiler was Economic Development Director for Wright County. Prior to that, she had served for a decade as Executive Director of the Iowa Falls Area Development Corporation. As the 21st century got underway, she was top assistant to former Mayor Gail Van Alstyne. From 2006 to 2010, Littweiler was a member of the Fort Dodge City Council, representing Ward 3. She aspired to reach the city's top job, but Littweiler's campaign to become mayor proved unsuccessful. Our town's current mayor, Matt Bemrick, remembers Littweiler well and offers high praise for her career and talents. She was a very dedicated council person, he told the Messenger earlier this year. Always well-researched and really seemed to always speak for her constituents and try to represent their ideas and the values that she shared with them. Littweiler was also an active participant in the Professional Developers of Iowa, a trade group representing economic development movers and shakers from all across the Hawkeye State. PDI has paid a well-deserved tribute to her memory and many achievements by creating the Cindy Littweiler Scholarship. This award will pay honorees to attend the association's multi-day annual conference. The Messenger applauds this fitting recognition of a Fort Dodger who left our midst much too soon, but who nonetheless accomplished a great deal and who will be remembered with fondness and appreciation. And that is today's Messenger editorial page. Thousands of bicyclists taking part in the annual Ragbrai cross-state ride made a brief stop in Webster City Tuesday morning. This is an article from the Daily Freeman Journal of Webster City. Fort Dodge hosted the riders Monday night for an overnight stay before they headed east for the next overnight destination, Iowa Falls. Along the way, the riders made stops in Duncan, Webster City, Blairsburg, Williams, and Alden. The route through Webster City brought riders into town via James Street to Grove Street and then to 2nd Street due to the street construction. The first riders began to arrive in Webster City between 6:30 a.m. and 7 a.m., many of them looking for a cold drink, a tasty breakfast, and perhaps a bathroom break. They found all those things in downtown Webster City. The hospitality committee spruced up areas of the community and put out welcome signs and Burma shave style signs on Old Highway 20 and along James Street. Welcoming and waving to the bicyclists Tuesday morning were members of the Rotary Club. The Chamber of Commerce was set up in a tent outside of its office. The booth was selling Webster City Ragbrai shirts with proceeds going to benefit the Kent Harfst Memorial. From speaking with volunteers at the information booth through the exit committee on the east side of town, we're getting good reviews about the welcome the riders received, said Mark Domes, chairman of the hospitality committee. He said the riders seemed to appreciate the centrally located entertainment, beer garden, and food vendors. A flatbed trailer was set up at the corner of Des Moines and 2nd Street to serve as a stage for several local musicians who entertained the crowd throughout the morning. Performers included Tucker Judkins Trio, Ismael Gomez, Shannon Swoan, Forefront, Leo Love Song, Clint Rydell, and Humble Beginnings. At one point, a spontaneous dance party broke out on the street in front of the stage with riders moving and grooving to recorded music between the live acts. Hungry riders were able to find everything from breakfast bowls to ice cream, dill pickles to pork burgers, smoothies to pizza at the vendors located on Des Moines Street and 2nd Street. We're hearing a lot of comments like, nice town, very friendly, very clean, he said. I think the bicyclists are happy, and I think it's been well organized. And again, that article is in the Daily Freeman Journal of Webster City. We'll look next at an article from the Marshalltown Times-Republican. The courthouse project there has been stalled again. The Marshall County Courthouse project is without a general contractor after an updated contract requiring the company to pay damages was declined. With First On-Site out, the return of county offices to the historic building, ravaged by the 2018 tornado, is once again delayed. Nan Benson, county auditor, said the county is working to secure other contractors with hopes of having something on Tuesday's Board of Supervisors agenda. The goal of moving into the courthouse by December 31st is no longer feasible, she said. I don't just think December 31st has been a good deadline for a while. I am hoping it will be February or March. First On-Site, who ended on Friday after declining an updated contract requiring payments for liquidated damages, still intends to ensure a smooth transition, Benson said. Marshall County Buildings and Grounds Director Lucas Badke said liquidated damages represent what it costs the county each day for the courthouse renovation to continue. It would help with the expenses incurred due to the failure of the contractor to meet deadlines or damages caused. During a July 9th Board of Supervisors meeting, the county determined the contractor should be responsible for $3,000 in liquidated damages per day. The $3,000 estimate was determined as a daily cost, which included rent and other locations, time spent, and labor. With the delays that have plagued the project, the county has even started to incur rent for furniture storage space. That plus the project manager had some health issues and was not going to return were the final nails in the coffin, Benson said. Benson stressed work will be ongoing inside the courthouse during the transition between general contractors. The subcontractors working on the project will continue their duties. We've talked to all of them and everyone is staying on, Benson said. They were here the next day and will still be here. Everyone is very supportive. You're listening to the Fort Dodge Messenger on IRIS, the Iowa Radio Information Service for the Blind, and now we will turn to today's obituary page. Dorothy Kennedy. Dorothy Louise Essig Kennedy of Fort Dodge died Monday, July 26th at the Marion Home in Fort Dodge at the age of 97. Funeral services will be 10:30 Saturday, July 31st at Trinity United Methodist Church. Visitation is 9:30 to 10:30 on Saturday at the church. Burial at Graceland Cemetery in Webster City. Gunderson Funeral Home and Cremation Services are in charge of arrangements. Dorothy Louise Essig, the daughter of John B. and Susan Sizer Essig, was born October 28, 1923 in Camrar. She graduated from Lincoln High School in Webster City in 1941. On March 3, 1951, Dorothy was united in marriage to Lee K. Kennedy at the Asbury Methodist Church in Webster City. Dorothy was employed at National Chiropractic Association in Webster City. Upon moving to Fort Dodge, she began working at the Fort Dodge Laboratories on January 23, 1956, and retired from there on September 16, 1988. She and her husband resided in Fort Dodge for a number of years. Dorothy enjoyed cooking, gardening, traveling, playing cards, crocheting, and visiting with friends and relatives. She is survived by a sister, Alice Hayes, several nieces and nephews. She was preceded in death by her parents, her husband Lee, on December 4, 2003, brothers Richard and Edward Essig, sister Elizabeth Prusman, a nephew, Scott Hayes, and nieces Sherry and Shelley Hayes. Dorothy was a member of Trinity United Methodist Church in Fort Dodge and had resided at the Marion Home in Fort Dodge since January 8, 2014. Bill Hansen. Bill Hansen, 76, of Fort Dodge, died June 28th at his home. Family interment services will be held in Norway Cemetery near Thor. Visitation will be held 3:30 to 6 p.m. on Saturday, July 31st, followed by a celebration of life service at 6 o'clock at Gunderson Funeral Home and Cremation Services. William Robert Hansen, the son of Robert and Ruth Brisbane Hansen, was born February 1, 1945 in Fort Dodge. He graduated from Eagle Grove High School and Mason City Junior College. On June 28, 1962, Bill was united in marriage to Linda Michelson. The couple made their home and raised their family in Fort Dodge. He was a chartered financial advisor and life underwriter, working 37 years for Lutheran Brotherhood and 15 years owning Hansen Asset Strategies. He retired in 2018. Bill was a member of St. Olaf Lutheran Church and a member of the Noon Rotary Club. Survivors include his twin daughters, Lisa Sharp and Lori Whitaker, Dave's son Dave Hansen, grandchildren Nolan, Ryan, Samantha, great-grandchildren Brody, Ashton, and Audrey, his brothers John Hansen, Ron Hansen, and sister Mary Christensen. He was preceded in death by his wife Linda in 2019 and his parents Robert and Ruth Hansen. Memorials may be directed to the Unity Point Cancer Center or the Republican National Committee. From Pomeroy, Vera Heide. Vera Evelyn Heide, 96, of Pomeroy, died Monday, July 26, at the Lorenz Care Center. Family services will be held Thursday, July 29th at Powers Funeral Home in Pomeroy, with burial in the Union Cemetery at Pomeroy. There will be no visitation. Powers Funeral Home in Pomeroy is in charge of arrangements. From Goodell, Dick Barkema Jr. Funeral services for Dick Barkema Jr. will be 10 a.m. on Friday, July 30th at the United Methodist Church in Goodell. Visitation is 5 to 7 Thursday at Ewing Funeral Home in Belmont. From Humboldt, Dwayne Williams. Funeral services for Dwayne Williams will be 11 a.m. on Monday, August 2nd at Lent's Funeral Home in Humboldt. Visitation 4 to 7 Sunday at Lent's funeral home in Humboldt. From Algona, Royce Thomas. Royce Thomas, 39, died July 26. Services will be Friday at 11 o'clock at St. Cecilia Catholic Church. Visitation is 4 to 7 Thursday at Lent's funeral home. And that is our look at today's obituary page. We're going to head back to the Daily Freeman Journal. And there was a column in there that I wanted to read. I'll get that called up here in just a second. Information of little importance or value is the title of this column, written by Arvid Huseman. While I don't enjoy playing most board games, board, B-O-R-E-D, games, I do enjoy playing Trivial Pursuit. That's because I appreciate trivia, you know. Details, considerations, or pieces of information of little or importance or value, that's how the dictionary defines it. Sadly, my brain stores more of this kind of information than important stuff, like how to make $1 million or why dogs howl at the moon. The internet has made harvesting trivia easier than ever, and here are a few of the things I have reaped recently. You know that frustrating feeling when you're trying to explain something and you forget a specific word? You know? There's a word for that. It's called lethologica. That's the kind of stuff you can learn from the internet, and it may come in handy someday. Historians claim humans have been performing dentistry since 7000 BC, which makes dentistry one of the oldest professions, just one of the oldest professions. One of my favorite meals is macaroni and cheese. I learned from the internet that our Canadian neighbors eat more macaroni and cheese than any other nation in the world. A Canadian friend told me about poutine, French fries, and cheese curds topped with brown gravy, and now I'm even more anxious to dine in Canada. I read on the internet that an animal's yawn is based on how large their brain is. The bigger the brain, the longer they will yawn. Crap, now I'm timing my own yawns. Trivial fact, females are better at distinguishing colors, while males excel at tracking fast-moving objects and discerning detail from a distance. In Zimbabwe, it is illegal for citizens to make offensive gestures at a passing car. That law would be useful in Iowa, too. Iceland, I have read on the internet, has such a small and isolated population that many Icelanders are related. Accordingly, Iceland has a dating app that stops you from hooking up with your cousin. They could have used that app where I grew up. This spring, I had an opportunity to view the tulip beds in the city park in Orange City. Dutch people love their tulips. Did you know that 1,634 tulip beds were a form of bulbs were a form of currency in the Netherlands? I'll give you 6 tulip bulbs for a Dutch letter. Researchers claim that the average human blinks his or her eyes around 20 times a minute. That's over 10 million times a year. No wonder I'm so tired. Spread across our lifetime, most people spend an average of 1 whole year sitting on the toilet. That may have changed since the invention of the cell phone. Along those lines, on average, you pass enough gas in one day to fill a party balloon. Shouldn't that be a potty balloon? Echo and Jekyll, a pair of magpies, were among my favorite childhood cartoon characters. Did you know magpies are considered among the most intelligent animals in the world and the only non-mammal species able to recognize themselves in a mirror test? When I was a kid, I liked to dig holes in the ground, sometimes thinking I was digging a hole to China. It is claimed on the internet that digging a hole to China is theoretically possible if you start in Argentina. I have heard television characters use the term bra. I learned from the internet that that term is Hawaiian pidgin, short for bra da, brother, and was popularized by surf culture. It may surprise you to know that I am not part of a surf culture, bra. It is reported on the internet that some banks have therapists known as wealth psychologists who help ultra-rich clients who cannot mentally cope with their immense wealth. I think I could handle that. Experts claim your nose is always visible to you. Your mind ignores it, though, through a process called unconscious selective attention speaking. Let's try that again. Experts claim your nose is always visible to you. Your mind ignores it through a process called unconscious selective attention. Speaking of noses, I'm proud of mine. It's hand-picked. One more weird fact you should know. You sneeze while traveling at 60 miles per hour. Your eyes are closed for an average of 50 feet. Sneeze quickly. There you have it, a new supply of information of little importance or value. I hope you have enjoyed it as much as I did. And again, that is a column in the Daily Freeman Journal written by Arvid Huseman. We're going to head over to the Messenger sports section. Area players dominate the North Central Conference baseball list. Five Webster City players were unanimous, and Gales Heldorfer was also recognized. 10 Messenger Land baseball players landed on the North Central Conference first team recently, including St. Edmund senior Grant Heldorfer. NCC champion Webster City had five of its athletes, seniors Tyler Olson and Chase Rattenborg, junior Devon Stokes and sophomores Ty McKinney, and C.J. Hisler garner unanimous honors. Humboldt's Caden Mattson was also a unanimous selection. Cade Witzke of Humboldt and Algona teammates Wyatt Strait and Aaron Wieringa landed on the first team as well. Heldorfer was a jack-of-all-trades for the Gales this season, batting a team-best .442. The 2021 Griffey Award winner at the school also led St. Edmund in his hits, doubles, triples, runs scored, total bases, on-base percentage, and slugging percentage. Grant had a huge year for us. He played the role of setting the table from the leadoff position to near perfection, said St. Ed's coach Mike Zalat. He did whatever it took to get on base and get us going offensively. And he was a very good outfielder, too. Just an outstanding overall season. Really an impressive senior year. Start to finish as a student athlete, he did everything the right way. Gale senior Peyton Scott landed on the third squad. Scott, a three-year starter, batted .400 and was once again one of the primary pitching options for St. Ed's rotation. Peyton was a true utility guy. He was an outfielder early in his career, but this season he pitched and played second and shortstop, said Zalat. He really had a great career start to finish, never got too high or too low emotionally. He went up against some of the best competition we faced as a starting pitcher. He had a very productive year at the plate. Webster City completely dominated the league landscape for a third consecutive season. The Lynx, who haven't dropped an NCC contest since 2019, were 14-0 in the conference and 25-2 overall. Olson hit .410 and dominated again on the mound with an 8-0 record and a .37 earned run average. Rattenborg batted .321 and went 7-0 in pitching. Stokes, a catcher, carried a .344 average. McKinney hit .418 with a team-best 45 runs scored, 19 stolen bases. Hisler sported a club-high .462 average while driving in 38, also a Webster City best. Mattson, a junior, hit .316 with 7 home runs, 24 RBI for Humboldt. He also stole 40 bases, the best in Class 3A. Witzke went 6-4 with a 2.61 ERA in his senior campaign for the Wildcats while also batting .330 with 22 RBIs. Wieringa carried a .415 average for Algona with 22 steals and 31 runs scored. Strait hit .404 with 4 home runs, 36 RBIs. Both are seniors. First team is made up of Tyler Olson, Webster City, Jet Neuberger of Clear Lake, Cade Witzke of Humboldt, Devon Stokes, Webster City, Ty McKinney, Webster City, Caden Mattson of Humboldt, Mario De La Cruz of Hampton Dumont, and Aaron Wieringa, along with C.J. Hisler of Webster City, Grant Heldorfer, St. Edmund, Austin Wernke, Clear Lake, Chase Rattenborg of Webster City, and Wyatt Strait of Algona. Second team is made up of Trey Lyons of Webster City, Cameron Rendon, Algona, Eric Ritter, Clear Lake, catcher Cal Harine of the Hampton Dumont Cal. On the infield, Dylan Madden of Iowa Falls Alden, Cale Chase of Clarion Goldfield Dallas, Marco Guerrero of Hampton Dumont Cal, Joshua Thurm of Humboldt. In the outfield, Sean Carver, Webster City, Connor Hansen, Webster City, and Strand Crouch of Algona. Utility players, Bo Claver, Webster City, Kobe Clarkin of Humboldt, and Cortland Nearing of Iowa Falls. The third team consisted of Zach Dyvig, Webster City, Luke Kletzer of Iowa Falls Alden, Mateo Martinez, Clearing Goldfield Dalles, Sam Off, Iowa Falls Alden, Peyton Scott, St. Edmund, Hayden Holm, Humboldt, Tyler Mansky, Algona, Levi Newton of Humboldt, Kyle Hemke of Hampton Dumont Cal. Chloe Wirtz goes out in style. The Dodgers senior softball player was clutch in the championship game victory. Chloe Wirtz admits she's watched the video replay of her home run in the state championship game a time or two, or ten, or probably thousands of times already, she said. I couldn't even sleep that night. I was just so excited. Wirtz broke the scoring ice in the Class 5A final between top-seeded Fort Dodge and Ankeny Centennial last Friday night at Rogers Park, sending a frozen rope over the center field fence to put her Dodgers ahead to stay on their way into the history books. Wirtz isn't a prodigious power hitter. The long ball is just her second of the season and fifth in 411 career at-bats, but the four-year varsity starter has always shown a penchant for clutch hits in pivotal situations, and none was bigger than this moment. After that first hit, a ground out to seemingly end the at-bat, I was called an illegal pitch, and I got another opportunity to start something. I just took a big breath and swung, she said. I honestly didn't even know it was out. I was sprinting to first, then the crowd was screaming, and I just couldn't believe it. I had the biggest smile on my face. As a senior, you just want to go out with a bang and make the most of every game. That last out, I was just speechless. Tears were rolling down my face. I said to my teammates, we did it. It's been our dreams to be state champions, and we've worked so hard each and every day. I am so happy to end my high school career with the best coaches, teammates, and community. Wirtz hit .322 with 34 RBI this season, landing on the honorable mention All-CIML Iowa Conference charts. She missed only three career starts in four seasons despite dealing with numerous injuries, and the Dodgers went 137-23 overall with Wirtz on the diamond, the highest win percentage in school history. Honestly, there are no secrets to succeeding at an elite level, Wirtz said. Just work hard day in and day out. Practice when nobody's watching. Wirtz's softball career is over. She isn't planning on playing collegiately, and her time at senior high is done as well. It's a bittersweet feeling, but the closure of finishing on top will certainly help with the transition. I will miss everything about being a Dodger. Those girls are my sisters and forever will be, Wirtz said. I will support them no matter what and always have their back. I'll miss my coaches for sure. They taught me so much, not only about softball, but other life skills also. Time out with Chloe Wirtz. Her favorite vacation destination would be the British Virgin Islands. Person she'd like to have dinner with is Ken Roczen. It would surprise people that one of her fingers is bent permanently. Her favorite sports model is Coach Andy Adams. Her everyday role model are her mom and dad. I can't go a day without showering. Her nickname is Clo-Clo-Clo, or Chody. Her superstition is not braiding her hair before games. Her most heated rivalry, Ankeny Centennial, the team they beat in the championship. Favorite road trip would be spring ball drives to tournaments. She's asked, what are you listening to right now? And it says, The Kid Leroy. Her favorites include the Iowa football team. Her favorite class is Spanish. Her favorite movie is The Kissing Booth. Her favorite book is Friday Night Lights. And her favorite phone app is Snapchat. And that is time spent with Chloe Wirtz. I'm going to read an article again from the Times Republican about the excessive heat watch that we have going on in the area. This again covers pretty much the entire state of Iowa, and the article seems relevant. Excessive and dangerous heat was expected for the Marshalltown area Wednesday as the National Weather Service issued an excessive heat watch covering all of central Iowa. Temperatures on Wednesday were predicted to range from 105 degrees to 110 degrees. Fortunately, a cold front is also expected to enter the area on Thursday, providing some relief for central Iowa, but the southern portion of the state will still be overheated. The Des Moines National Weather Service is advising everyone to limit outdoor activity. Also, drink plenty of water, avoid alcohol, wear light clothing and sunscreen, and work outdoors if necessary in the early morning hours or late at night. And that all seems like good advice no matter where in the state of Iowa you live. We'll talk about some other reminders of events coming up. The Kendall Young Library in Webster City is holding a foam party from 4 to 7 Friday. Outside the library, the whole family is invited to the end of the summer reading foam party celebration. The foam is safe for children. Masks are not required. You're encouraged to wear swimsuits or clothes you don't mind getting wet in. Also a reminder that the Fort Dodge Choral Society on August 1st at 3 o'clock will present a free concert at Grace Lutheran Church. The concert, entitled Silent No More, celebrates the group's return to singing and a belated greeting for Ludwig von Beethoven's 250th birthday. That, again, is Sunday, August 1st at 3 o'clock p.m. at Grace Lutheran Church. We're going to go ahead and call up this date in history, and we'll get that going here in just a second. It is Wednesday, July 28th. And on this date in history, in 1868, the 14th Amendment to the Constitution was adopted. On this date in 1945, an airplane crashed into the Empire State Building. In 1978, on this date, Animal House was released in theaters. Colleges were not the same afterwards. In 1932, bonus marchers were evicted by the United States Army. In 1976, one of the worst earthquakes in modern history destroyed the Chinese city. On this date, in 1929, future First Lady Jacqueline Bouvier Kennedy was born. Jacqueline, or Jackie as she was called, grew up as an avid horsewoman and reader in 1951 after graduating from GW University. She began to tour Europe with her sister. She met John F. Kennedy, a handsome senator from Massachusetts. The couple was married September 12, 1953 in Rhode Island. Also on this date, in 1965, President Johnson announced more troops to go to Vietnam. On this date in 2016, Hillary Clinton accepted the Democratic nomination for president, becoming the first woman to lead a major U.S. political party. And of course, she lost in the 2016 race to Donald Trump. And on this date in 1914, during World War I, Austria-Hungary declared war on Serbia. And that's just a handful of things that happened on this date, July 28th. Let's go ahead and take a look next at the weather forecast as our time together is drawing to a close. Going to be hot for a couple days. Of course, we have this heat advisory. And I'm just going to look at the heat advisory to see if it has an ending time. And that's not coming up on the information that I have. So go ahead and look at the forecast over the next several days. Thursday, mostly clear, high of 88, low of 63. Friday, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms at the high of 83. Rain chances continue Friday night, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms with the low of 62. Saturday, partly cloudy skies, high of 86, low Saturday night of 58. Sunday, high of 83 under clear skies and a low of 56 degrees. Monday, mostly clear, high of 83, low of 58. Tuesday, partly cloudy, high of 85. And it says it'll be partly cloudy, but also we'll have mostly clear skies. So the only rain chance we have is Friday night into Saturday. We'll keep our fingers crossed there because I know that we could use a good soaking rain. The farmers would love that. That's going to bring us to the end of the reading of the Fort Dodge Messenger with plenty of help from the Webster City Daily Freeman Journal and the Marshalltown Times Republican. I'm Kevin Rogers at the microphone. Thank you so much for spending this time with me. Of course, this podcast and many others are available to you at iowaradioreading.org, and we certainly hope that you're able to enjoy the podcast made for you. Stay safe, stay healthy, take good care of yourselves, stay cool. Thank you for your continued support of IRIS, the Iowa Radio Information Service to the Blind. We'll talk to you again real soon, right here on IRIS. Bye-bye for now.
Exploring Science and the Sea. The colorful dwarf hawkfish has a colorful life story. Found on coral reefs from Australia to Japan, it lives in harems, one large male with an entourage of several females. If the male gets greedy, though, things can change. One of the females can become a male and take half of the harem. And researchers recently found that if the new male is challenged by another male, he can change back to a female. The hawkfish isn't the only fish that can change sex. In fact, it's a fairly common trait, especially among fish that live on reefs. Perhaps the best-known example is the clownfish. It lives in small groups in the arms of anemones. The largest member of the group is female, the second largest is the breeding male, and the rest are non-breeding males. If the female dies, the breeding male grows larger and becomes female. The largest member of the pack then becomes the breeding male. Other species of fish start out female, then become male, and others don't become either until they meet potential mates. And in some fish, the change is influenced by the environment. The ratio of males to females in southern flounder, for example, varies with the temperature. When young juveniles in the lab were exposed to lower temperatures, the sex ratio was about even. But as it got warmer, the percentage of males increased. That difference wasn't seen when the temperature difference was applied to slightly older juveniles, though, suggesting that timing and temperature played a role in defining a fish's gender. Science and the Sea, a production of the University of Texas Marine Science Institute, is on the web at scienceandthesea.org. I'm Holly Brawley.